I always try and get my clients to see how much can they make an hour in something else that they do. So if then they, so when it comes to a VA, I'd say, okay, well, what are all the little tasks that you do that are taking up all of your time? A lot of them are just checking emails or responding to people or social media or whatever that might be. And I say all them tasks are like what I would call £10 tasks. They're not going to physically bring you anything. They're just all the quick tasks that you have to do that actually take up most of your time. So forward them on to a VA or a PA or whatever it is that you want to do.
Hey, 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 you are listening to the Master Delegator Podcast. My name is Christy Yoder, founder and CEO of Smart VAs and your podcast host. Can I tell you a secret? I am obsessed with teamwork and delegation. I consider myself a lazy entrepreneur, not because I don't like working, but because I always find ways to do things in the most effective and easiest way. I was born and raised in Manila, Philippines, moved to the States, and grew my agency from one person to now more than 70 plus team members as of this recording. I was able to grow my business 10 times more after I hired my first virtual assistant within 3 months. And together with my team, we have helped more than 200 stressed and overwhelmed business owners scale their businesses by delegating to virtual assistants. I was able to grow my agency from zero to a six-figure business all because of delegation. And that's why my goal in this podcast is to help you grow your business by giving you fresh perspectives on delegation, outsourcing, and up-to-date proven business strategies, and teaching you how to scale your business while living a freedom-filled lifestyle. So, are you ready to become a master delegator? Let's dive right in. Hi, everyone. In this episode, I had a chance to talk to Katie Godfrey. She's an entrepreneur with multiple successful companies, including a beauty salon, training academy, product range, and coaching business. Trained by some of the best coaches around the world, such as Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi. On top of that, she is a trained NLP practitioner and life coach. Since being in business the past 14 years, Katie has learned so much about running businesses successfully and has a huge passion to pass that on to others. She knows how to build a team, creating freedom within your company, starting a business correctly, building a personal brand, scaling and selling a business, starting a product range, marketing and advertising, social media building, and so much more. Katie specializes in the beauty industry after winning over 15 awards and being a columnist for many industry magazines. She has also been published over 100 times, including OK Magazine, Fab Daily, and national newspapers. Plus, has two books, one being a number one bestseller. I'm so excited for you to learn more about Katie and what she has to offer. So, here it goes. Welcome, Katie, to the Master Delegator Podcast. I'm so excited that you are here with me today. I know that you have been coached by, Tony Robbins and a lot of, other big coaches out there. And, I don't want to feel intimidated because I have never been coached by Tony Robbins, but I've been watching his videos on YouTube and I learned a lot from him. And so that's why I'm so super excited for you to be on this podcast, because I know that you're going to be able to provide a lot of value to our listeners. What is wrong with my tongue? To our listeners, please excuse me if I say anything that is not incorrect pronunciation. That's just who I am. I'm the podcast host of Master Delegator Podcast and I make mistakes, but we're human beings, so that's okay. Well, again, thank you so much for being here, Katie.
Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
All right, cool. Well, you've been in business for more than 10 years and I've only been in business for like less than 4 years, and I have experienced a lot of things already. So I'm kind of curious to know, your story and what has been the most rewarding thing for you to own, your own business.
I've been in business now for, oh my gosh, like 14 years. So a long, long time.
And
It's
you look so
all I
young,
know.
actually. You look so young, and did you start when you're like teenage, when you were like a teenager or something?
I opened my first salon when I was 19.
Okay.
So I was young. I've been in business for many, many years. Business, like, is up and down. It doesn't matter how long you've been in it, whether you've been in business for 5 minutes, 10 years, 20 years, it is an absolute roller coaster. But I absolutely love it. I live and breathe it. Instead of watching TV, I'll be working. Like, this is just what I do. I love it. There's been obviously a lot of hardships on the way. There's been lots of amazing things on the way. And to be honest, when I started when I was 19, I just learned along the way. Like, I didn't go to business school or study business. I've done it all along the way. It's definitely been a roller coaster and a lot of learning, a lot of studying along the way, making huge mistakes. But that's made me into the businesswoman that I am today. And I've gone from working just me to now having teams, to now having three different businesses that all run smoothly, basically on their own, alongside being a mummy to my two little ones. So, yeah, life is good.
That is so awesome. And so, what do you think is that the one most rewarding thing that you've ever had, running a business?
The most rewarding thing for me is the freedom. So when it comes to money, obviously I love the money, but you can't have the freedom without the money because I need to be able to invest in my team to be able to have the freedom. So I just absolutely love being able to work alongside my children, be business mum in the day, and then at night just be mum, and that's what I live for. And I don't know if it's the same where you're from, but we have lots of like half terms and summer holidays. And I love not having to put them in holiday school. And I can just be with them in them times. And then when they're at school, I'm just grafting and working all of the time. So I just love having that balance and that freedom. And if I need to drop something, then I can drop something and be there for anyone. So yeah, definitely freedom for me when it comes to business.
I love that. And at what point in your business journey did you experience freedom? Because I know for a lot of business owners, during their first year in the business, some they tend to feel stressed and overwhelmed because they're trying to do everything on their own. So at what point did you experience freedom in your business?
It took around about 6 years. Before then, I was in the business day in, day out,
Wow.
doing all the treatments, doing all the paperwork, doing everything that a business person does. And then what happened was I fell pregnant, and I was single and pregnant at 10 weeks pregnant. And so I was like, okay, how am I going to bring up this little person completely on my own when all I do is work in the company? How are we still going to bring in this money we was taking? Like, how am I going to do that? So I just had to make sure that I quickly built a team. I already had a team, but a small one. And I still was very much completely in control of my business. Like, I was there day in and day out. So I had to try and figure out how do I build a bigger team, a better team, and just have the willpower to just step out completely and just work on the business rather than be physically in the business. So then when I could go off and just have my pregnancy without having to worry and have my little girl again without me having to go back to work or without the business having to fall because I wasn't there. So that was definitely the turning point to me. And I've done it so successfully that now that's what I teach other business owners. Like, I'll teach people to step out of their businesses and to work on their businesses and to have the freedom around their families. I've just had a little boy literally last month, and I've done exactly the same with him again. So it's definitely a proven
Wow.
method. So, yeah,
Yeah,
I haven't
so
been working in the business now for like 7 years.
I love that. And that is the goal, right? Even for me, I started my agency because, I want to have freedom and flexibility, and I am experiencing that now, but I want to come to a point where I don't even have to work in or on my business anymore. You know, I want to be able to trust, you know, my team members to do what they're supposed to be doing, and while I focus on just, you know, my family or my loved ones. I mean, I don't have a kid right now, but eventually, you know, I want to have maybe at least one, you know, but I'm sure life is going to be very different once, you know, I have my own family. Hey, are you looking for a community to learn how you can be effective in delegation so you can focus on the things that matter the most in your business and grow to 6 to 7 figures? If this is you, then today is your lucky day. Join our Facebook group today to get your questions answered on delegation, outsourcing, business growth, hiring members, and many more. We offer so much value in the group, so join our growing community by going to facebook.com/groups/masterdelegator. See you there. Tell me about that proven method that you were talking about. I'm curious to know, how did you do it? How were you able to step out of your business and trust your team members to do their responsibilities? Because there's a lot of people out there who can't even hire even just one team member because they are so afraid of losing control. How much more, you know, if you are delegating everything in your business and stepping out of your business like 100%. So how did you do it?
It does come down massively to just letting go. I always said that the business was my baby, and I actually realized it's not my baby. I have babies, like my business is not my baby. I had to let go of that emotional hold that the business gave me and just let it run without me and just take my hand off. And know that anything that someone done wrong, I can fix, and just allowing other people to make mistakes if they needed to along the way. Obviously, to be able to step out, you need to be able to have teams. And a lot of that comes down to the recruitment process and the type of people you bring in, and making sure that they're on the same culture as you, the same wavelength as you, like running, like trusting them, hiring people that are better than you. And just having that trust and just letting go a little bit, and then you'll start to see the rewards of that, and then you end up not wanting to do anything. You want to delegate everything.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we will come to a point where we will not have a choice but to let go, you know, especially when you have a vision for your business and you really want to scale your business. And if you are, you know, a very ambitious business owner, then you are really going to learn how to let go regardless of how you do it, you know, regardless of the circumstance. I feel like in my journey, you know, a lot of people, they ask me, okay, how were you able to build your own team? How were you able to delegate? I want to give them like a very, very solid answer. You know, I wish there is like a magic word for it, but I just tell them, I just don't have a choice. You know, I have a vision for my business and I need people to help me. And so I love what you said about, you know, just letting go and, you know, hiring people that is better than you. I think that is very important. Even the fact of knowing that there are other people better than us out there, that speaks a lot to us already as a business owner. And so now you also have a coaching business. So you have multiple successful companies. You have a beauty salon, training academy, product range, and also a coaching business. So how do you teach people to do what you have done, you know, having different businesses that are successful? How exactly do you do it? Thank you.
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
So I've been coaching now for around 4 years, and I have clients all over the world, and we do exactly this, Zooms, and they reach out to me and we have sessions, I have memberships, there's lots and lots of different options. And when it comes to me being a coach, I'm an open book. I completely tell that person how I got there, and I'm very honest with it. And if they take on everything on board that I teach them, and they're willing to put the work in, because it's not easy. Like, people might listen and be like, oh, okay, we just hire a team and then we can hand everything over and it's all very easy. It's not, it is very, very hard. And you'll hire people that are no good for your team and will closely mess things up. But you've just got to be really resilient and hang in there. So I'm very, very open with my clients. I'll teach them every single step as an open book of what I know. And then it's up to them to then take that information and run with it. But they have to be dedicated with it. And all of my clients that do that are hugely successful. You can see their stories on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as a coach, you have to be really open and just teach your client exactly what you know. And that's what I do.
That is awesome. And I think just being open and honest to them, you know, like, because I feel like, you know, coaches, you know, most of the things that they're going to share to their clients are the things that they have experienced personally, right? It's really hard to like be a coach and you don't really have experience in what you're coaching on. So I guess that just makes sense for you, you know, being an open book. And I like that, you know what? Just early today, you know, I was talking to somebody. He's a coach and he was telling me about what he can do for me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, at the end of the call, I was like, you know what? Although I know that you're good in, you know, in business and strategies and all that kind of stuff, relationship is also very important to me. And I feel like that is something that I was looking for when he was telling me what he can provide to my business. Sometimes I'm a very straightforward person, you know, like, okay, let's talk business, you know, 100%. But when I'm entrusting my business to somebody like a coach, like I really want to get to know that person. You know, I want to know if you're married, how many kids you have, what were you doing before? Like, I want to know your background, because then only then I'd be able to trust you. And so I'm glad that you're like open book. You're like an open book to your clients, because I think that is really important.
Yeah, there's many, many, many coaches out there now, and you have to do your homework, and you have to make sure that you are hiring a coach that you can really resonate with. Only go with someone that is like done what you want to do. There's no point going to a coach that go, okay, I want to do this, this, and this in my business, but actually they're really successful in their own right, but they've never done what you're trying to do. Yeah. They might have the knowledge, but they haven't physically done it. And I always believe, go to a coach that's been and done the what you want to do. And you have to have that personal feeling with your coach as well. Because with my clients, what happens in their personal life affects their business life. So a lot of them will come to me with their personal stuff as well as their business stuff. And they have to trust me to be able to do that. Right. So everything kind of rolls into one. So you have to really trust your coach and really look up to them and, yeah, make sure they've got a proven record of what it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so having multiple successful companies, what is your role for each of those companies that you have? So, you know, for example, for your beauty salon, like, what is your role now?
My role now, I would say, is mainly training and standards, making sure they're kept high. So I don't actually have anything to do with the day-to-day running. I don't have anything to do with the teams anymore. But if someone new comes into the salon or a new treatment we're launching, I would be the person to make sure that, yeah, okay, let's sign this treatment off, that therapist is at that right standard now, or if someone's struggling in a treatment and I feel that the standards are going to dip, I'll do some one-on-one with them. So I just make sure now that everything is to a high standard still. And then my managers are able to contact me if they have any queries that obviously they can't deal with, then mm-hmm. I'm the go-to person. But otherwise the team always will go to the managers. So that's how I am in the salon. In the training, I don't train anymore. I might be stepping back in the new year purely because I want to, and I kind of miss that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have trainers, they do the training. Everything is online if it's not in physical. So I've done that. So again, it's systemized. We have the product range. So it's down to me to do the testing of that again, making sure the standards are there and we love the product. And then obviously when it comes to coaching, I will coach. So yeah, everything is very streamlined and systemized, and the teams know exactly what their roles are. So I didn't have to do everything.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Are you sick and tired of being overwhelmed because you are doing everything alone in your business and can't scale because you don't have a team supporting you? Well, you don't have to worry anymore because Smart VAs can provide you with a team of experienced virtual assistants that can do different tasks to support your growth, from admin to bookkeeping, to social media, video and podcast editing, to website, graphics, SEO, and customer service. Smart VA's team can help you grow your business without any worries or stress from all the tasks weighing down on you. If you are a busy entrepreneur who needs help with your day-to-day tasks so you can focus on growing your business, then you have to visit smartvirtualassistants.com. It's important that when we hire a team member, we need to make sure that this person is really the right fit for our business. Otherwise, it will not be successful. And so how do you make sure that, you know, that the person that you're going to add to your team is the right fit for your business?
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
It takes a long time to kind of get that natural feeling when you're interviewing and recruiting of, do you go with someone that is, for example, in the salon, do we go with someone that is qualified in every treatment that we need to do so we don't have to do any training and the treatment is amazing, but maybe their personality isn't all that or doesn't fit with the rest of the team?
Mm-hmm.
That straight away would cause problems because they're not going to merge with how the culture is within the salon.
Mm-hmm.
But they might be amazing at treatment, so you have to kind of weigh that situation up. And when you are recruiting, normally we're in the UK, we have like a probationary period where they have like 6 months, which we can make sure they like the job and make sure we like them, etc. And then we can either let them go or we make their job permanent within that period of time. Normally within this period of time, you will know if that person is right for your business or not. So it's very, very important just to make sure that you're having regular one-to-ones with them, making sure they're happy, making sure that you're liaising with them if there's any changes that you want them to make. and just being really open and just making sure that training is there for them. And if you see any signs like that the person's not right, then do something about it quicker, like sooner than later. I always say hire fast, hire slow, fire quickly.
Yeah.
So make sure that process is slow when you're doing the recruitment. But if you see something that you don't like, you need to make sure you get rid of them.
Yeah. And have you ever fired someone personally, and how did that make you feel?
Oh my God, I've done that millions of times. Don't get me wrong, it never, ever, ever is easy. It doesn't get easier. It is the worst. I will still have sleepless nights if I have to let someone go, because it's just not my nature to be unkind. But business is business. And if someone isn't right with the business, or if they're not performing how they should, then unfortunately they have to go. It's the worst part of my job.
I know, me too. I wish I can delegate that to somebody else. I mean, I can, but there's just some things that we have to do, you know, like it's us business owners, you know, have to do it on our own. And it's not really fun when you have to fire somebody else, you know, because you know that you are that person is going to look for another job, and you're not really sure if that person is going to be able to find another job. But I always say to myself, you know what, Christy, you're not their savior. You know, they can do something about, you know, their job. And I don't know, like, to be honest, I wish I can go to, maybe not I wish, I hope I can get to a point where I'm not really bothered by that anymore. But I also don't want to stop caring, you know, but I think it's just being in the middle. But I know how you feel whenever you need to fire somebody.
Yeah, I've had people work with me for years that I should have let go a long, long time ago. Because of that fear of, you know, letting them go, they're not going to have a job, then how are they going to manage their family? Like, and so you stick with them for that. But then what happens is your business isn't profitable, or you know, things aren't 100% right, and you just should have let that person go. So that's happened a couple of times. And the last time that happened, I just vowed to myself that if someone needs to go, I just need to let them go. And I've made sure I've done it quicker all the time since. But I don't think anyone with a heart finds that side of the job easy. But it gets easier when you just think of business only and not them personally, because they will go out and get another job and they'll be absolutely fine.
That's true. And I've also realized lately that, you know, because there was one instance where we needed to let go of somebody from within my team, but we didn't let go of that person early in the business because we were trying to be nice, you know, and we couldn't let go of that person because we're afraid of what that person might say to us or might say to other people about us. And so we kind of prolonged that team member's stay in my business. And oh my gosh, that person made a lot of chaos and mess. So I was like, oh, wrong. I should have let go of this person sooner. And so that was my turning point when it comes to firing somebody. You know, if you see a problem and you have given feedback to that person already and the person is not changing, then you have to let go quickly before chaos happens, you know, because something is really going to happen. If a person is not the right fit to your business, then something messy is going to happen if you let that person stay.
One bad egg can change the whole team. So that's one thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah, and that's true. And so when you coach other business owners, like, what is that one most common problem that business owners have when they come to you?
The one most common problem is, I would say, fear of if they're making the money themselves already. They think that them paying someone else's wage, they then won't make the money. because they reckon they're giving it to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They can't see how they can grow if they're hiring people because they've got the salaries to pay. So that's one big problem, which is just a mindset problem and a bit of a money block, that's all. So we would work on that. And I'd say the other problem is just not having that control. Like, people are very fearful to let that go. And again, that's mindset and just letting go a little bit. And I'd say one other problem I have is people just don't know business. So especially in my industry, which is mainly the beauty industry, so a lot of the time I'll coach other salon owners. They were lash artists or beauticians, and then they got their own clientele, and then they started a business. And yeah, okay, they're great at the treatment, and they know what they're doing inside out when it comes to their client, but they have no idea how to run the business. So they've created this business and have no idea what to do with it. So wow. That's definitely where I step in.
I mean, if I was a coach, I feel like that is very important, you know, for a business owner to know, you know, how to grow a business and what to do with it. So let's just say somebody comes to you and they're like, okay, I'm ready to hire a virtual assistant, but I don't have a budget, you know, I'm only charging my clients this amount. And if I'm going to pay a virtual assistant this amount, how am I going to have a profit margin? So what do you tell them if they have like a question like that?
I always try and get my clients to see how much can they make an hour in something else that they do. So if then they, so when it comes to a VA, I'd say, okay, well, what are all the little tasks that you do that are taking up all of your time? A lot of them are just checking emails or responding to people or social media or whatever that might be. And I say all them tasks are like what I would call £10 tasks. They're not going to physically bring you anything. They're just all the quick tasks that you have to do that actually take up most of your time. So forward them on to a VA or a PA or whatever it is that you want to do, or a staff member that's not as booked up or whatever. And then they can focus on actually making the money in the business with whatever that does, higher ticket things that will actually bring money into the business. So then that's where it will weigh out paying for that staff member. So then you're still having the income of what you was doing, but someone else is doing it. And then you're going to have another income of all the new stuff that you can now do because you've got the time to do it. So I always just say, like, hiring is scary because you think you're paying out for something, but just think of how much more extra money you can make, because you can only earn a certain amount on your own. What you do on your own, you can be absolutely amazing at, of course. You can maybe earn exactly what you want to earn, and you might not want to hire anyone. But if you want to scale, or you want to grow, or you do want to earn more, then that's when you're going to have to start getting VAs or staff or whatever that might be, because you can't physically grow without having that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think most business owners, they don't realize that just by doing something that they're not supposed to do, they're like robbing themselves off, you know? So like, for instance, you know, if they work on something that they're not supposed to be doing, let's just say admin tasks, you know, if they keep on doing that for like 2 hours every week, so that's like from Monday to Friday, so you do that 2 hours, so you're like spending 10 hours on admin tasks, and then you pay yourself $100 every hour, so you're rubbing yourself off of, you know, $1,000 just by doing that. Whereas if you delegate that to somebody else, you know, you can do higher ticket items, which you just mentioned, and you're probably just gonna pay, you know, your VA or your team member a quarter of what you pay yourself when you delegate that admin task to somebody else. So I feel like, you know, it's all about mindset, really. And also knowing your numbers. Because I feel like, you know, if a business owner does not know his or her numbers, you know, fear is really gonna creep in, because they won't know what to spend on and how much to spend.
You definitely need to know your numbers and know how much money do you personally bring in an hour into your business. How much is 1 hour worth to you? And I think until you figure that out, you then know the value of how much it is to have someone else. Because if I know I can bring in £400 or £500 an hour, why am I then going to just sit and do my emails for an hour? I can give that to someone else, and then yes. I can do coaching for an hour. So you really got to figure out that. And that comes to your personal life as well. Like cleaning, for example, I have a cleaner. Why am I going to clean my house for an hour if I can, you know, make money in that hour and then just give £20 to my cleaner for the hour? So it's just.
Exactly. You know, yeah,
that's how I live my life anyway.
me too. Oh my gosh, I rarely go to the grocery store anymore. You know, if I go to the grocery store and spend 2 hours of my time going there and choosing what I want, looking for stuff I want, like that 2 hours I can spend it on higher ticket items. And you know, when I do my grocery online, I only have to pay for like $7 for somebody to do my groceries, you know. I don't know how they pay those people here in the States, but as far as I know, I only have to pay between $7 to $8 for delivery fee, and I'm sure, you know, the store is giving or paying those shoppers, you know, higher mm-hmm. than $7. Like, who will work for $7 right an hour? Mm-hmm. But anyway, and like what I always say to people, you know, especially to business owners, you know, delegation doesn't only apply to our business or professional life, it also applies to our personal life. So yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned about, you know, your personal life. Well, any last words of wisdom to our listeners?
I just say, if you're sitting there at the moment and just think that you're overworked or you're feeling a little bit burnt out or you just need a helping hand, like, just give it a go. Like, the worst that can happen is it doesn't work for you, which won't happen. It won't work for you and you just go back to working by yourself again. But I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to see the benefits and it'll be the best thing you do. So just take the risk and the leap and just hire someone and see how your business goes from there. And not plugging myself here, but find someone that you really connect with and get yourself a coach, because I could not live without my coach. Mm-hmm. And I know all the other success stories of people that have had coaches. So if you feel alone, definitely grab a coach as well.
I love that. I don't know what to do without my coach, really. So I'm glad that, you know, we have coaches out there. I'm glad that you have chosen this, you know, this path as well, Katie. So thank you so much. Where can people find you online?
Best way to find me is through Instagram, which is KG_KatieGodfrey. Or there is my website, which is kgbusinessmentor.com. And I think I've given you the link to my free book. So if I haven't, I'll pass that through to you. And then you guys can just download the free book.
Okay, I think I have the link to your free book. I'm going to link all those. I'm going to put those links in the show notes so that people can find you online. Thank you so much for coming to the show, Katie. I appreciate everything that you've added, you know, the value that you've added to the podcast show.
And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. If you like this episode, please share this with your entrepreneur or business owner friends on social media so they can have freedom and flexibility while running a successful business as well. Please also subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback will inspire me to continue creating content like this and help me improve this podcast show for you. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll see you again on the next episode.